You are on the lot with Ward, a weekly presentation brought to you by Vision Ford in Wahpeton and the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Hey, I love Tuesdays. I love Thursdays because, we get our education with Ward Catering from Vision Ford. Ward, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I love this segment because, I always know more once you leave than I did when you came in. And I know good things. So
absolutely.
You know, that definitely helps. But today, you're going to humor me. This is one of my favorite little things to do.
We're going to keep it light and a little entertaining.
Did you know?
Yes.
All right. You've got some facts for us here.
Well, we got to start out with something because you and I were just chatting about what you have going on in the weeks to come.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know, or maybe you do know, let me change this.
Yeah.
Do you know what key the typical horn in a car is in?
What? Something just... Okay, we'll see the key of A.
So the most horns are in the key of F. I have no idea why.
Serious.
But that is the normal, typical, worldwide. Interesting little useless fact there for you.
Jeez, why did I... And just had... Yeah, the key of A just popped.
Yeah.
I was even going to go with A or E, but, F.
Well, there weren't many left. You could keep going. We would have gotten it eventually.
That's true.
So, we talk about electric cars all the time. I just want to touch one more time. It's so interesting to me that the first electric vehicle was created in 1832. Not 1932. 1832. Just a piece of history there because you and I are chatting all the time about the EV world, the electric world,
mm-hmm.
where it's at, where it's going. It's amazing. The concept is not new.
No.
It's been around a long time, and it's exciting to see where we're going. So lots going on. We had a great day yesterday. Sold another one of our Mach-E's. Another happy customer run around on batteries today, so that's fun and exciting.
Wasn't the white one, was it?
It was one of the black ones.
Okay. Those are really sharp.
Yeah, super fun. So here we go. I found this really interesting. So we've talked in the past, the vehicles are very complex, internal combustion. The average vehicle has 30,000 parts in it. 30,000.
So average.
Average. Certainly vehicles that have more, but there's probably a lot that have less. So this might explain why Ferrari, they only make a maximum of 14 cars a day. So Ferrari makes 14 a day. It kind of seems like a lot if you think about what it takes to build one of those.
Yeah.
But compare it to the F-150 manufactured by Ford, one comes off the assembly line every 57 seconds. An F-150 rolls off. So those assembly lines are really clipping along. And three shifts, 8-hour shifts going every day. That's why we get darn near a million of those alone. Just the F-150.
Yeah, F-150s.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Almost a million. That is incredible.
It's amazing. I went down to the Rouge plant, which is in Michigan, and watched the assembly plant. And watched everybody. It's just a moving, every vehicle is basically on a platform, and it comes up, and one person does one job, and it just goes in zigs and zags through this huge plant. The most intriguing to me was where they put the decals on the box. So whether it says FX4 or Raptor, whatever the case may be, there's a gentleman that stands there and just eyes it up freehand,
mm-hmm.
sticks it on, and moves his hands out to the edge of the sticker, and that's how it gets applied. And it's amazing how perfect they do it.
Is this, let me ask you this, seeing an assembly line, is this kind of a marriage of robotics and humans and man and machine kind of doing all this?
Yeah, so two ends of the spectrum. The Ford Lightning, which is 100% electric, is largely done by robotics.
Okay.
So a ton of robotics involved to make that vehicle come up. The rest of the F-150s, the half ton specifically, are largely assembled by the union workers.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that is fully robotic is the paint. So they paint them with Robux, but the rest of it is one person putting one part on at a time.
And wow.
They get 57 seconds to do it. The only person that gets, I believe, a little over a minute and a half, I don't remember the exact amount of time, is the person putting sunroofs in.
Oh, I bet.
So they get a little extra leeway to get that unit in and secure it in properly. So it's amazing how quick it goes.
I could sit there and watch something like that all day.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be almost hypnotic.
It's incredible that they can do it. They can the complexity of it, the technology that's in there, and just the quality that we as consumers expect. We expect perfection, right?
Right.
I hear that every day.
And I hear Ford's numbers are up, too, that's always good.
So anyway, 57 seconds, you get to see a new F-150 roll off the plant. That's
unbelievable.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So after all that fancy high-tech manufacture, I found it interesting that 95% of the life of the vehicle is always in park. It's sitting in a parking lot somewhere.
Well, that would stand to reason.
So we only get to enjoy 5% of the life of the vehicle. That's I find that hard to believe.
I double check
that one a few different ways.
See, and that's one of those common sense answers. It's like, well, that would make sense.
Yeah. So, but again, you think of 30,000 parts being put in there. And in 57 seconds, one rolls off the assembly line. It was so fun to see that and the quality and the variety. They do different models. It could be a red one here, a white one here. It could be every trim level, every different option. Really a testament to Ford's technology, that just the way the American way is. It's fun to see that.
Did you talk to him about changing colors? Get away from the black and the white, yeah?
Bill, that's one of my trivia. The most important question of all time, and this is a Vision 4 thing, is the most popular one is white, okay? You've stated that many times now. I've asked this before, but maybe you'll remember. What is the least popular car that's actually available, or color, I mean? It's a color that's not always on the spectrum, but you're looking at it right now. It's on my shirt.
Purple. Lavender, purple,
there you go. It's purple.
Okay.
Least popular, but it is a color actually available from some manufacturers.
Okay.
I remember back when I first got in the car business, the S10 Blazer came out in a purple. And it was so interesting to see the people that bought it were so passionate. It was all about the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, sure.
And they obsessed over that vehicle. It was only made for 2 years, but there was a very loyal group there that came in to buy those.
So. Rabid and loyal.
Yeah. Sometimes emotional about depending on the time of year and what was going on.
A little bit, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's always interesting to see and hear what the business is going through. You know, one thing is the transmission. It seems like something very simple and trivial. But back in the day, my very first vehicle was a 5-speed, which 5-speed was kind of new and cutting edge back there. They have that extra gear to going forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, today the average vehicle, 95% of them are automatics. Which I guess kind of makes sense. Maybe the other 5% is the sports enthusiasts, the muscle car people. But where we've gone with that is amazing. There's certain vehicles that don't even have the shifting. We have some Lincolns that have that. Certainly the electric car has no shifting. So it doesn't have that. You'll watch the RPMs and kind of feel the vehicle rev up and then back down as it's going through the shifts. But there's belt-driven transmissions. Again, in the electric world, it just moves, right? There is no transmission. So it's amazing, again, what the industry has gone through, and the maintenance goes down as you eliminate the parts again.
Mm-hmm.
Fewer transmission parts, fewer parts being abused, fewer parts that need fluid exchange. It's just a simpler way of life, I think, on a yearly basis.
I've asked you this before. How do you order up vehicles? I mean, how does Ward Cater, you know, get on a phone or get on a computer and say, this is what we need?
Yeah, you know, it's a good, really good question, Bill, because it is hard.
Yeah.
I've been in the business a little over 3 decades. I personally order all the vehicles for Vision Ford Lincoln, and it's a 3-day process. You know, Mondays I kind of start to look on what we call them commodities, basically what the parts that are going to be available. Tuesday is my first opportunity to build them out.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, you know, what they told you yesterday, things have changed and you're scrambling to redo it. So they give us an allocation. So we'll just say they're going to give us 10 F-150s for this week. I build them out and pick colors and options and equipment. And then Wednesday they give us one more opportunity to look at commodities changed again in availability, so you need to rebuild them. So we don't always get what I would say I want, but we got to get inventory built, otherwise we don't have anything to sell or to potentially trade to another dealer to get you what you want. So it is still very complex. It is simpler, more simple, if you will, than two or three years ago, but it is incredibly complex every week.
Let's talk about, where does the discretion come in, where you are looking at something and going, yeah, I don't think this will ever fly here?
You know, it's a market-by-market thing. I've worked in three different markets over the 30 years, and we have all kinds of research that's available at a click of a button, what sells in our region. Our we can get as tight as we want, I guess, and we can look at the national. And then you need to look at what is our community like, and are we a big agricultural, are we a big, commercial-type environment that needs a lot of vans and heavy-duty trucks?
Sure.
So those are all considerations, and then you're trying to figure out what time of the year do consumers buy those.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of companies have a tendency to load up at the end of the year. They're getting their tax situation figured out, and, hey, I need pickups or vans. I need them now. Well, the manufacturers just don't work that way. We got to plan many months in advance. So, yeah, it's a lot of luck. Certainly a lot of consideration as to what direction you want to go on a quarter-by-quarter basis. So it's not easy, Bill. It really isn't.
So it is kind of roll of the dice for you.
It is. We do our best to get what we think will work, but it's not always available to get.
Right.
But, they're very good. Out of all the manufacturers I've worked with, the Ford Motor Company is definitely makes it the easiest. But
do you ever hit some that just sell incredibly well? Go to the other end of the spectrum and go, boy, I didn't know those would take off like they have, but I'm glad they did.
Yeah, there really is. I'll give you an example of in the last 3 years here, is our Bronco Sport. Our Bronco Sport is a four-door SUV. The price point is amazing. When they first rolled it out, they didn't give us any information. They tried to make it exciting and a little bit of a mystery even to dealers. And when it came out in that, $30,000 range, I was shocked. And they sell as quick as we can get them. $30,000, $30,000 to $40,000 is a lot of money. But in today's world, it's really pretty economical. And so the Bronco Sport is just done incredible because they make it fun. They have a lot of accessories. They have Thule. You can hang all kinds of camping and recreational equipment on.
Right.
They were all specifically designed for the Bronco Sport. So that accessory world, which is a whole nother area that we order and try and inventory in stock, is another challenge. But it's exciting to have hundreds of options that we can put on that Bronco Sport. And again, the price point is amazing. The demographics is what really surprises me, Bill, is it's truly that first-time buyer that is very fortunate, maybe has a family member or somebody that helps them buy that. But we have people in their 70s that buy them and have bought multiple and just love them.
Right.
So it's exciting. You just don't know.
Was that a marketing ploy? Because I remember when they brought the Broncos back.
Yeah.
There was like almost hysteria. It's like, we're so glad that the Broncos are coming back.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, on the heels of that, it wasn't long. It's like, yeah, but check out these Bronco Sports. Was that a marketing ploy? I mean, was that set up? Because it was brilliant.
For sure. It was definitely a plan, and they're going to keep rolling it out. It's kind of like the Mustang. We have our traditional Mustang, and now we have a Mustang Mach-E. They're making it a whole car line again. So we're going to have a car line of Mustangs, then we're going to have another car line of Broncos. And there's more Broncos coming, I'll tell you that.
All right.
There's new exciting things on their way.
So can you get one in like a metallic forest green? I'm just asking.
Not like asking for a friend?
I'm asking for a friend word. Can you do that for me? Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. We can make that happen.
You could set that up. On the Lot with Ward, always great to have you in here every Tuesday and Thursday.
Another great day.
Absolutely. Get out there and sell some vehicles.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Right. It's 9:53. Good morning.
You have been on the Lot with Ward, a weekly presentation brought to you by Vision Ford in Wahpeton. On the Lot with Ward, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9:40 at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
This is the Ag Central Radio Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman with a market update. Well, we're looking at corn higher at the upper end of its near 6 cent range in December contract this morning as it's recovering some of the losses from yesterday. Funds were active sellers in yesterday's market action, adding an estimated 14,000 corn futures contracts to their record short position, now estimated to be net short 375,000 contracts. Soybean market firm today. Traders covering some short positions following yesterday's sharp sell-off. Soybean meal slightly higher, bean oil moderately higher. NOPA crush report showed 175.6 million bushels of soybeans crushed in June, below expectations of 178 million, but still above last year's 165 million bushels. And all three classes of wheat showed some small gains earlier. Now it's mixed, with Minneapolis in positive territory and Kansas City negative. Chicago is fractionally higher today. Taking a look at the numbers right now, we're seeing September corn up 4, 394 and a half. December's up 3.5 at 407 and 3/4. Soybeans, August, we're up 15 now at 1093. And November is up 7.5 at 1047 and a half. And the Chicago wheat now, September up 0.75, 533 1/4. December's up 1.25 at 557 3/4. Minneapolis, September's up 1.75 at 582 3/4. Kansas City, September down 2.75, 552 3/4. We'll check on the livestock and outside markets right after this.
This is your new friend Ben with Minn Kota.